Today's episode is brought to you by two companies that I think you need to know while you're sheltered in or quarantined, and you know them both. So I'm just repeating myself. I don't even want to say it anymore. I just want you to know it. It's Rooted Shots and Dishes by Daniel. First of all, they can tell you more than I can tell you, so give them a follow on Instagram, whatever. Rooted Shots, Dishes by Daniel. Let's talk Rooted Shots first. If you haven't tried them yet, go for it. Give it a shot. Use code JIMMY10. They're at-home organic ginger shots, vitamin C, three awesome flavors. They're the best, guys. I've been heating them up and drinking them like tea. It's a good way to go, let me tell you. Next up after that, Dishes by Daniel. So Dishes by Daniel, if you're in New York, you're sheltered in at the moment, you should give Dishes by Daniel a try. They will bring meals to you. It's perfect. It's perfect. We can't go out. We can't go to restaurants and bars. Dishes by Daniel. They'll bring you prepared meals. They're perfect for just having when you get them or putting them in the fridge, anything like that. They're incredible. Check out their menu this week on their Instagram. You can also go to dishesbydaniel.com. And yeah, make an order. Casey Cott is on the podcast today. Excited to have him on, from Riverdale. Good friend of mine. Let's get at it. Cue the music. Funny thing about this was when I was like, Casey, let's do this. I didn't think that Tom Brady would also have left your division. So we can start with either one. Which do you want to start with? Do you want to start with your feelings around Casey's here, everyone, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, Cott's everybody.
Here, straight Bills, from quarantine.
Number one Bills Mafia.
Buffalo, truly.
Buffalo to the core.
Do you want to? You have to tell your Super Bowl story at some point too.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Let's start with Tom Brady.
Okay, let's start from birth. Casey Cott was born in 1992.
I was born in 92. From the time I was six, Tom Brady has been ruining my life every year.
I'm so sorry.
So, you know, it's a weird point with Tom Brady though, because we're kind of past the hatred of Tom Brady and into mm-hmm. this, you know, the Derek Jeter, the Kobe Bryant, the goats of the game. They do this farewell tour at the end, you know, and it's everyone kind of starts to tip their hat.
Oh yeah.
But I'm kind of tipping my hat and waving it at the same time of like this reign is over, you know, and I'm glad. I wish the Bills would have won that last game against them, because if they had taken that game and then the Patriots had lost the season finale to the Dolphins, the Bills could have moved up and won the division. But regardless, you know, it'll be interesting. I did not see that move coming. I don't know about you.
You honestly thought he was going to stay?
No, I thought he was going to leave. I thought he was going to go to LA, but I actually thought mostly he was going to end up in San Francisco. And then all of a sudden I thought he was going to be in Miami. I thought like bringing the show to Miami, their young coach is incredible. They brought in all these, you know, these flashy additions. I was like, is Tom Brady about to go to Miami? Hmm. And then I just didn't see him in the Tampa Bay uniform. It looks weird, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, no one looks good in a Tampa Bay uniform. It's kind
much
of like
to Clay Singer's.
Yeah, chagrin. Yeah.
Chagrin, yeah.
No, it's like they I just love how ESPN now does the thing where they immediately like Photoshop them in the jersey, which even looks more uncomfortable cuz you know they're not wearing it and you're like a Buccaneer. Wait though, I want to go back to this tipping of the hat thing. So my question is how reluctant? Like at what point? Like, I always talk about, like, people who hate Coach K and Duke. Like, at what point are they actually going to be like, actually, I respected him a lot? Like, will it take his deathbed for them to be like, okay? Or will they, like, or will it be, like, at the retirement? When were you, like, when was the first time you openly started talking about, like, respect for Tom Brady? Or has that really not happened yet? And you're just like,
no,
get the
you know, I like Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady is a class act to me. Like, that guy is, he's the family guy. He's got the whole thing. Like, you know, he's got these fun stories that come out about him, like how he chugs beer with the guys, but he's also just, he's classy. He's smart. But I think the Falcons game, man, like, I found myself on the edge of my seat rooting for Tom Brady. Like, yeah. I was like, I want Tom Brady to win the Super Bowl. And at that moment, I was like, I want to see Tom Brady win as many Super Bowls as possible. Like, unless they're playing the Bills. Granted, this year, I did not want them to win. But, like, once they're there.
Of course.
I kind of want to just, you kind of want to see it happen. So, I think I was rooting for them in the Falcons game. This year, I was rooting for Mahomes. I wanted to see Mahomes beat Brady. I know that, you know, part of Brady's class is him moving to the NFC. He's like, I don't want to see Mahomes. I don't want to see Lamar. Like, but I think my tipping.
Oh, so you think he's running from them? He's running from them. I like this take. He's a coward.
No, he's not a coward.
He's a coward. Casey said it first. Tom Brady is a coward. Casey, that's really ruthless. I didn't say it. You did.
Listen, when you look.
When you look for cowards, you go Tom Brady. And...
When you're no longer 35, when you're no longer 25 and you're no longer 35, you look at guys like Mahomes and you look at guys like Lamar and you're like, I don't want to face them until I have to. And if I can eliminate one of them just by moving to a team,
yeah,
I'm going to do that. It's common sense at this point. And I think any quarterback would do that. I think any quarterback besides Mahomes and Lamar would do that. So, I think it's a smart move. Listen, the Bucks have a great young core. They got a great coach. And in a way, history is written already. They have the worst winning percentage of any pro team, I believe, in the NFL, NBA, MLB.
You know,
I think it's something crazy. If Tom Brady won 286 consecutive games, then it would match their winning percentage to Tom Brady's. Like, it's,
yeah.
And the Super Bowl, he's like, listen, I'm gonna do all these things. He already created the TB12 trademark. Like, it works. It makes sense.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Oh gosh, because it's Tampa
Bay. He created
the
trademark. Yeah, it's like TB and then 12 is underneath it.
TB12 has been around for a while, but now that it's Tampa Bay too, that's just disgusting.
Well, he literally created a new trademark 2 days ago.
Yeah, I just want to make it really clear. That's because he's a cheater and he's on a cheating team. So Tampa Bay, like, let's not, you know.
Now, Bill
have you seen?
Have
you
no
seen those?
For.
Have you seen those videos of the Bengals sideline? That is the most, I'm like not one of those people who's like, he's deflating the balls. That video and the video of the guy being like, hey, it's all good. Everything's forgiven. I'm just going to delete it. I was like, yo, that is textbook.
See,
he's like,
I don't know if we've talked about this.
We haven't.
I have a firm cheating policy belief.
Okay. Oh, I think you've said this before. I love this. Keep going.
In 2020, with the technology that
this
we
is a
have
great
today,
take. Yeah.
With the amount of analytics, instant replay, whatever you have it, if you cheat and get away with it, it's a part of the game. If you cheat and get caught, you didn't get away with it. You should be penalized. But if you cheat and get away with it, I have no, I don't know how you do that. That, you know, and not to side tangent, I think the Astros cheating was so obvious and stupid, no one caught it.
You think the trash can was too obvious?
The trash can was so stupid and obvious, and they were so arrogant to think that no one would identify this banging of a trash can that they got away with it until someone was like, wait a minute.
Well, what's crazy
to
me...
Are they that stupid?
Is like apparently other teams knew it was going on. So I'm just so confused. I mean, like, I guess like snitches get stitches, and they were just like, we're not saying ish about it, but we know what's going on.
Speaking of snitches, I'm surprised that guy.
Which guy? Like, oh, Fierce.
The guy that read it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Whatever his name is.
Did he do the right thing?
He 100% did the right thing.
I agree.
But it's the age of whistleblowers. I would have been like, yo, don't put my name on this. Like, because
I got a lot of respect for the guys who were asked to be a part of it and were like, I don't want to be a part of that. I got a lot of respect for those guys.
So what's crazy to me, though, is it's like so it's so like universally agreed upon on the people that didn't want to be a part of it. Like everyone's like, Josh Reddick did not want to be a part of it. It's like we all just are just agreeing right. that like
interesting.
You know,
yeah.
And then the pitchers are all like, hey, like I wasn't in it. Like you can't get mad at me. I'm like,
yeah,
so
Verlander's
what you're saying,
like, man, I'm good.
Yeah, I guess. But also like didn't say anything for months, like didn't apologize. Right. He was like, Altuve, this is your job. Come on, little guy. It's shocking.
Not poor Altuve. It is shocking.
I feel really, really, really bad for the Dodgers. I feel really bad for the Dodgers. And I feel bad for the Yankees because, especially for the Dodgers, because everyone the last 3 years cannot shut up about what choke jobs they are at the Dodgers. And like, Darvish legitimately had an emotional breakdown after the Astros like destroyed him in the World Series.
Yeah. I mean, Clayton Kershaw, like, look at him. What a class act that guy is.
Yeah,
I mean,
and it's like he's had some like bad games against the Astros.
Yeah, and he's and it's like, crazy, man.
Have you seen the video of his off-speed pitches where it's a compilation of all of him throwing to the Astros and they don't swing at a single off-speed pitch?
Single one, yeah.
And they're like nasty pitches. I'm like... That is insane.
It's out of this world. And I think that's one thing too, like that level of cheating. And I think the Patriots clearly have a history of super gray area, mostly into the red.
Sure.
You know, listen, and this is coming from a Bills fan. Deflategate might have been blown a bit out of proportion.
Wow.
But everyone was so ready to hate them because 100%. They are so annoying.
They're so annoying.
Granted, filming the Bengals sideline, like, what are you doing? You can, they're the worst team in the league. it's so simple. Like, I don't know.
Half you,
I don't know.
No decency, Bill Belichick. Well, okay, first of all, if you have to make a deal with me right now. I need a verbal pact with you right now that if you ever are like, you know how ESPN used to be like, and now Billy Bob Thornton's here in SportsCenter, and Billy Bob Thornton would be there and he'd be promoting like Last Man Out, his, you know, baseball movie.
Yeah, Lil Wayne made a couple appearances.
Yeah, like weird where they're promoting something, but they're like sitting in on SportsCenter or like First Take. The first thing out your mouth, I want you to drop that take. The cheating take is one of your best takes. I want that like straight out.
Okay.
Like, they can ask you a question about anything. You'd be like, before we get there, I just want to start with a cold monologue here.
I think that'd be a fun thing to talk to Bill Simmons about. Like, if I ever sit down with him, I'd love to get his take.
Oh, he'd be in. He'd be down.
Especially as a Boston guy. I feel like he'd be.
Don't.
But I will.
We can't give him that ammo,
though. I need you to let you know.
Yeah.
Cheating, if you get away with it, I'm in for it. Now, that's, I will say that does not include drugs. That doesn't include PEDs.
Okay. So Peyton Manning's and his wife's HGH don't count.
Peyton Manning's in his own world.
You've heard it here. Tom Brady's a coward and Peyton Manning's a cheater.
Once you're retired, you can't go back.
Yeah,
for
sure.
Also, Peyton Manning's SB opening, what was that? Like the year Katie left? He was so funny in that he gets away with whatever he wants.
Well,
at this point,
you know, he really is. He has a very funny cadence.
Yeah, he's great.
Go back to our original point.
To TB.
When I was thinking about Tom Brady, first of all, like, it's tough for me because I love legacy. I love legacy talks. I love thinking about legacy. And the idea of like Brady retiring a Patriot sounded right to me, staying there. But on the other side of it, I really am excited to see, I think, for Bill and for Tom, what this year is going to be, because they both have been tied together for so long and they both have really only experienced success with each other. So I'm excited to see this rivalry. And of course, now we have the incredible storyline of the next 2 years of whether they can meet in the Super Bowl. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I know that Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of all time, and I know Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. And while I think literally Tom Brady has less than 2 years left, that would be the, I mean, what storyline would be better than that? Than those two meeting?
Oh, it would be
insane. It would,
yeah. I do think Tom Brady will be back to the Super Bowl one more time.
I hope. I mean, I'm a Vikings fan and I hope that, but I also think like truly, I mean, Bruce Arians has a history of doing really well with old quarterbacks.
Right.
And he's an incredible offensive mind. And I think all the weapons are there in Tampa. Like, so I really do think that Tom's in the right situation. Hit me.
I agree. I am the biggest hater of Jameis Winston.
Ooh. Well, you're talking to a Jameis lover, so this is perfect. Go.
I really don't. I really, this is a big thing in one of my fantasy football groups right now. It's like six Jameis Winston lovers and me.
Also, how many fantasy football leagues are you in? You're just like, you
this
sell
year
your
I spread
services.
Myself thin. I did four this year.
Four and
I didn't
is
make
too
the playoffs
many.
In any. It was way too many.
Three is the limit. I hard capped myself at three.
Three's good, yeah, because you start drafting according to other. I got too caught up on gambling on one. You know, I had A, B in four leagues. So,
dude, pour some out.
Yeah. So, by the way, the Bucks said they will not sign him. Anyway.
That was a big. I was going to bring that up because
yep,
I thought he might
like,
leave.
We have bad
I thought,
blood.
Wow, I thought he might bring AB back with him.
He wanted to, but they were like, well, "No." What were we talking? Oh, Jameis.
Okay.
So
Jameis hit me.
Jameis, I just don't get it. Like the guy does okay. not win football games.
Oh,
he doesn't win football games, and he
Florida State national championship. Florida.
Right. That
oh, sorry.
Totally. Well, if
so
we're gonna go
cough.
With that, then
I had a slight itch in my throat.
If we're gonna go with that, then Rex Grossman should be starting in the NFL. You know, like
started a Super Bowl, Casey.
He did.
Put some respect on the name, please.
You're right. Granted, now the QBs coming out, I think, are gonna be amazing. But I just think the guy's chucking the ball. When you chuck the ball up like that, you're gonna get a ton of yards. You're gonna get a ton of touchdowns. You're gonna get a ton of picks, and you're not gonna win football games. And I don't like that free form, free for all way of football. And he doesn't seem to have disregard for the defense. Like I don't find that respectful. Like I don't find there's class in that. And then after the game, his last game, throws a pick six to join the 30-30 club. And after they're asking about his contract, and he says he's balling. And I'm like, no, you're not. You just threw five picks.
Did he say he was balling?
He said, you see my numbers, I'm balling.
I love
I was like,
him
you're
so
not,
much.
You're not balling.
To anybody who doesn't know, the 30-30 club is he's the first person ever to throw 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions in a season.
And the last. Because no one else will be given that opportunity.
He'll do it again. He's going to do it twice.
Right in the XFL.
So, yeah.
RIP.
Wow. You know, I love it. So things I've learned today. Casey thinks Tom Brady's a coward. Peyton Manning's a funny cheater. And Casey hates fun. He hates Jameis Winston. What is more fun than watching Jameis Winston? He is
watching
literally,
Lamar Jackson.
I don't know. Did you watch Lamar Jackson? By the way, if anyone hasn't seen Lamar Jackson at the skills competition at the Pro Bowl, he literally hits one of 30 balls. He has like, did you watch that?
No.
Pull that up. You're in quarantine. Pull that up at some point. Watch his throwing competition. He hits one target and then misses like 25 straight. And you're like, please put him out of his misery. Someone comes after him. I think it's like it's a wide receiver. Maybe like Adam Thielen throws after him. And Thielen hits like 20 targets.
Oh,
and you're
geez.
Like, whoa, this is bad. Lamar's even like, he's got like the weird like sun cap on and he's like covering up his eyes because he's embarrassed.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah. Well, he rectified himself.
I just want to say, but back to Jameis. Jameis is, what I love about Jameis is that he literally has no conscience. No conscience whatsoever on the football field. Like he will immediately go back out there and throw the 50-yard bomb, which I think is like
it's a fantasy dream. Like it's fun.
I do think there's going to be a first of all one thing too is that like having Mike Evans on your team, and this is something I don't think enough people talk about, means you're going to throw a lot of picks because part of what having Mike Evans on your team means is you look at a guy who's covered and you say, okay, I have to throw this to him because he could come down with it, and he probably will. And it's like, but there's so many times that like the safety shades over that way in the cover two, the safety comes over, and Mike Evans will get it over both of them, or sometimes like Mike Evans will like randomly not see the ball. It happens all the time, and like it's a pick so easily. So,
but Tom Brady isn't that guy. He's a check down guy, right? So I think it's going to be interesting seeing, you know, what they do down there. I think... They're fast though. They're such a fast offense. And Godwin, Godwin is so fast.
Yeah.
So fast. So that guy's gonna erupt. And the second they start covering that guy, Evans is gonna be open.
And they've never really unlocked OJ Howard, who is a talent.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And Cameron Brate's incredible and or he's you know, really decent and consistent, I think, and he'll be good and it'll be fun. But I'd rather see Tom Brady win than Bill Belichick win. I'll say that.
Well, I do think that like people are already being like, I mean, I think it was you even in our thread who was like, Bill Belichick has no quarterback. Like, what's he supposed to do? He has like no scrubs. And
you said he's Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick.
So it's like, even it's funny because Tom Brady's in the better situation. And yet if you had to ask me who to put money on, who would go farther in the playoffs next year, I'd probably take the Patriots. You know,
their defense is the number one defense in the league, very narrowly beating
the Bills.
And yeah, I mean, those guys are, they're tough. And I just, as of right now, there's no way, but it's still early. I think Bill could, you know, there's so much that could happen, right? I still think Bill, a kid like Joe Burrow, what if he somehow is like, I do not want to go here, and he pulls the Eli Manning. I know that's not going to happen. What if
he's from Ohio? That wouldn't happen. Tua is possible,
but I don't think Tua fits the system that well. It could, though, you know? He's a great – I mean, they don't – oh, you don't know because they've never had anyone besides Tom Brady, so we don't know what they're going to do. Josh McDaniels is still there. I wonder if he's like, man, I should have left.
I'm actually interested. You know how the Patriots do their playbook, so I don't know if you've ever heard this, but they never –
they play the same play over and over again. Have you seen that?
Oh, well, yes, that's 100%. But they've never, like, every year, all they do is build the playbook with Tom. When a new offensive coordinator would come in, they would keep the old playbook because Tom, it's like Brady. You're like, Brady would be like, this is the system we should run. And then every year they would just add to it, and it'd get bigger and bigger and bigger, which is why they say, like, rookies struggle in the offense because the offensive playbook is just so massive because it's been 20 years of Brady being like, this is what I like, this is what I don't like. So I'm interested because he's going to go to Tampa and he's going to have to literally, like, trim that thing down. He's going to have to start in a new system. And I'm interested to see – because he really has been building like 20 years of offensive infrastructure there. And he can't then show up in Tampa and be like, hey, Bruce Arians, one of the best offensive coordinators ever. Like, here's this giant playbook. Deal with it, you know?
But I was reading one of his main criteria was being the play. Like, he will call the plays. Like, he wants to develop the roster and call the plays. But I do think going to a place like Tampa Bay alleviates some of the pressure in that situation.
Sure.
Right? He's like, he'll have a bit more trust for those young core to make those things happen.
Yeah.
Right. And then I think on top of that, you know, Bruce is such a bad dude. Like, he is such a good coach. And I think, you know, he's got swagger. Like, I think they're going to have fun down there. It's going to be cool. And they got a pirate ship in their stadium.
Which happens first? Tom Brady retires or Bruce Arians gets told by a doctor that he can't coach anymore because he'll have a heart attack? Which happens first? Tom Brady retires or Bruce Arians gives up gluten?
Gluten.
Okay. Wow. Okay. I need to plug in my phone. But tell me, I want to hear Diggs' initial thoughts. Hit me. What happened?
So when I Minnesota said they weren't trading Diggs, you know. First off, I have the utmost respect for the Buffalo Bills. Whatever moves they would make this offseason, doesn't matter. I'm in. But, you know, the key piece I think that they were missing last year was another offensive threat. I mean, the fact that John Brown and Cole Beasley and Knox did what they did with, you know, headlined by Josh Allen was remarkable. And I think, you know, there came a point when you were playing against certain defenses, namely New England, where one more piece could have put them over the edge. Those were two really great games. So, the fear is you draft in the first round a wide receiver, or you don't get the wide receiver you want, and it takes a year or two to develop them. It's just the way it works, unless you find a freak like DK Metcalf, who had a great first season, you know, or Hollywood, who just come out of nowhere, and it's like Jason Tatum type. They're just literally created to play pro sports.
Insane.
And I think there's incredible wide receiver core coming out of the draft this year. But Diggs is the perfect person, the perfect wide receiver. He's got an incredible contract right now. He's got a ton of swagger, and the Bills have a lot of fun, young swagger. And I mean that in the way that they're classy, but they play with like an arrogance that's fun to watch. Mm-hmm. I think Josh Allen is young. And I think having someone like Diggs who's made a big time play in a big time game against a big time team adds a lot of spark and lets him sit back and have a little more confidence. And I think, you know, Diggs with John Brown and Cole Beasley and Knox with Devin Singletary in the backfield, like, and Josh Allen's, you know, running capability, I just think they're going to be absolutely incredible. They just, their entire O-line's coming back. And I was reading today, they're looking at Melvin Gordon, and Todd Gurley literally just got released. So, you know, if they add another piece, yeah, they released him.
Just now?
Just now, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So there's all these guys.
They needed that money back. That contract was a waste.
I know. That was bad. And it's not his fault though. I mean, listen, you don't pay a running back. You don't pay a running back. It doesn't make sense. I love Zeke, but you know what? Zeke twists his ankle and he's done. It's just the way it is. Gurley had hurt his knee and he can't play every down now. He'd be a great two down back. He'd be a great third down back. He'd be a great. You know, he's incredible, but
it's why we're not. The fact is, he got injured.
I think you guys might because
no way.
I do love. Here's the deal. I think it was a good deal. It was a great deal for you guys. I mean,
yes.
And people are comparing it to the DeAndre Hopkins deal, which is totally incomparable. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins clearly looked at the Texans and said, "I want to renegotiate my contract." Mm-hmm. Said he wanted 18 to 20 mil a year, and they said, okay, we're not going to do that. We're going to trade you. Diggs wasn't doing that.
Did you hear the Aaron Hernandez stuff?
Yeah, but you know what? DeAndre Hopkins went online and put that to bed.
Did he really?
He said, this is getting out of proportion. I got nothing but respect for Coach OB. We're good. I love Houston and on to the next thing. So I think when I read that, I was like, You can't living in an age with social media to its core, you got to keep things in perspective. Granted, mm-hmm. if those things were being said in seriousness and coach was looking at DeAndre Hopkins and saying those things, totally unacceptable. But when I start hearing all these news sources come out and then the player goes straight to communicate with everyone, look, this is being blown out of proportion, I'm going to believe the player.
Yeah. Well, my problem is I have the Hard Knocks problem, which this is my own version of Hard Knocks problem. But like we were talking about, who are we just talking about? Well, like Bill O'Brien. Like I watch Bill O'Brien on the Texans Hard Knocks and I'm like, Bill O'Brien's a good guy. Look at him.
Right.
He's a good coach, swears a lot, kind of funny, knows what he's doing. And then if anyone talks bad about him, I'm like, F you. Bill O'Brien's the greatest. Never
like
met
Bill
him.
Bill O'Brien?
Literally, yeah. Like, what was the other team? We were just, they were on Hard Knocks. Oh, Tampa Bay. It's like, I watched Tampa Bay and the general manager and Jameis Winston, who are both there. Like, the general manager got a DUI like a year and a half ago. And I was like, listen,
no,
he's a good guy. Yeah. I remember him from Hard Knocks. Good dude. Right. Jason Licht's a good dude.
Right. I've been noticing that amongst a lot of, I won't say like certain situations, but a lot of young Hollywood who, you know, people I've either worked with or I know come into contact with, hang out with, whatever,
mm-hmm.
Say something stupid. Do something stupid. And the world freaks out. They're like,
for sure.
This person is a role model for my kids and they're the worst person ever and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, guys, now there's certain no's. Like
sure.
If someone's saying something racist or homophobic or something terrible. But a lot of those things I look at and I'm like, you guys need to relax. People are going to say stupid things. If they say five stupid things over 3 months, then they probably need help and we should probably look at them and maybe unfollow them. But, you know, I think DeAndre put that to bed. It was one of those situations where it was put to bed.
Totally.
And I hope if it wasn't, then he would have brought it up and been like, yo, this is totally not cool.
That was such a weird story, no matter what. And it shows how like dried up sports are right now that I like
read up
everything on that because I was like, what else am I going to read about?
I know. The Astros are the luckiest team ever. Coronavirus literally put that to bed. no one's talked about how their cheaters are going to get pegged by baseballs.
They know what's coming.
2 weeks.
They know what's coming. They can try. They can run, but they can't hide.
Right.
Doesn't matter when opening day is. Someone's getting hit.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. If they make the playoffs, though, oh, let's go. That is going to be great. That is going to be great television.
The Bills or the Astros? The
Astros. I can't wait. Yeah. I can't wait. I want the Astros
Yankees.
Do...
Oh, must watch TV.
Let's go. I want it. I want all the and the best thing is baseball players are actually being candid. I love it.
Oh yeah, Mike Trout, all those guys.
Also, by the way, I just want to say before I talk about Diggs, I love how you're now really into you're like speaking for the organization. You started off, you were like,
oh, the
just
Bills?
Want to start Buffalo Bills, wonderful organization, great people, they're my family.
Listen,
I loved it.
You're in now. I didn't realize up until recently, you know, you really got to embrace them fully, and once you do that, they embrace you as well. Whether it's one of the kids in my fantasy, one of my fantasy leagues is up in Canada, because I work up in Vancouver, and he is a huge Eagles fan. His name
sounds
Justin.
Annoying.
Great. He's a good guy. He's a little. He's
there. It is there.
He texted me. He just texted me an hour ago a photo of the Eagles Bills score this year because they pounded us, but. He is on Twitter and like just started following random Eagles fans, and they created like a little text thread or whatever. And Justin went to Philly and like did a tailgate with all these people he had met on Twitter and like hung out with them, went to the game with them, had a whole day. Barely knew their real names, just knew their Twitter names.
Yeah.
And I've noticed in the modern age, you can totally connect with these teams and they'll embrace you, especially a team like Buffalo. Like they just, you know, it's not like a Cowboys or like a, they're not as, you know, the fans are everywhere, but they're not always the number one thing talked about on TV. So,
And you can get retweeted. You can get retweeted or reposted so easily. I have a good podcast, a podcast that I like to follow. What they do is they'll take like a minute and a half and they'll just like, put in this long plug for like a specific college basketball team or a professional team and be like, this team's incredible. Why don't they get their due? Blah, blah, blah. Like a Stephen A clip. And then they post it to their Instagram and out of context. And then they always get followed and retweeted by the fan account for like the 76ers fan account immediately. Yeah. Like we'll be like, these guys know what we're talking about. Also, about Philadelphia fans, I just want to be really clear. When the NBA got postponed, I got three texts. One of them was on a group thread being like, oh my gosh, can you believe this? The other two were two 76ers fans separately telling me how excited they were that Ben Simmons will now be healed for the playoffs. I was like, you assholes.
True, though. Assholes. The NBA playoffs this year are going to be insane.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
It's going to be crazy.
Oh, I can't wait. I hope. July and August is going to be great. Back to Diggs. I know we were on tangent six.
Wanted the Bills to go after Diggs. I've been talking about it in one of my threads for a while. Diggs is a big playmaker. And you know what? I will say this about the Vikings. You don't need Diggs.
Diggs is too
good of a player to be on a Vikings team.
Okay.
He's the third option.
Just to be clear, led the league with Cousins in 50-yard touchdown passes or more last year.
Right.
Took the top off the defense. He was huge for play action. Huge.
Right.
Now, for some reason, I'm going to say this. First of all, you're welcome. You're getting one of my favorite players I've ever seen in a Vikings uniform. So it's tough for me to even do this podcast because there is a side of me that's like, the Bills suck. We want Diggs back. I don't care how many picks because... like, this was our fifth-round guy out of Maryland, like, and from his rookie year, when very few people saw, we all were like, oh my gosh, we have this super talented fifth-rounder who everyone passed on for some reason.
Right.
Super competitive, great route runner, just so much speed, and the big thing is the past 3 years, he's led the league in contested catches. Like, he is so good with his hands. I mean, Minneapolis Miracle, like, literally the best play I've ever seen as a Vikings fan is because of Stephon Diggs. So, it's tough to let him go. For some reason, I don't understand why, he hates Kirk Cousins. And this year, that became so clear. Like, and from the second, I knew he was going to get traded because the second that Cousins signed the extension, he tweeted, like,
he was
need a new beginning. And I was like, what are you doing? because I follow
him. Dude, do you know why he hates Kirk Cousins?
Why?
Because he's not their number one receiver.
Yeah, he was, like, though, for all Cousins, this year. He got Cousins more targets than anybody. Thielen.
Well, Thielen was injured, right? Wasn't That's he true. Injured this year?
Yeah, hamstring.
Cousins, and I love Kirk Cousins. Don't get me wrong. And I love Adam Thielen. But Cousins, and I should change it back. I should rephrase what I said.
Okay.
It's not that Minnesota doesn't need a guy like Diggs. It's that Diggs wasn't fulfilling his full potential on Minnesota.
Yes.
I don't think.
I agree.
And I do think on a young team like Buffalo, with a young quarterback who's willing to chuck the ball and he can throw it 65 yards, it's insane.
Yeah.
I do think Diggs is going to be the number one threat, and it's going to be fun to just let him. It's going to be like, I hate to say this, it's going to be like Jameis and Evans. He's going to be chucking the ball up, and yeah. It's going to be fun to watch.
But he was so efficient in Minnesota. It was like he had 1,100 yards. His catch percentage was like 75%. It's like, I understand that Josh Allen's going to be willing to throw the ball to him 15 times. It's just a matter of like what you want. It's like Julian right. Edelman could be a number one receiver on a bunch of teams, getting, you know, but what they ask out of
yeah,
him.
Yeah, like NC State. VCU, wow. Duke.
Okay.
I hate Julian Edelman.
You what? All right, yes. Let's add it to the takes. Here we go. Tom Brady's a coward. Peyton Manning's a fun cheater. I hate fun.
Julian Edelman
and
is the
Julian
guy.
Julian Edelman, you hate him?
Yes, he's caught every single third down when the Bills could finally make a switch and beat the Patriots. The ball goes to Edelman right over the middle. Somehow he's wide open. He's duked out the entire defense somehow.
Sounds like you should be mad at Sean McDermott.
No, Sean McDermott is a saint.
anyway, but I totally get what you mean with Diggs. On a technical standpoint, it's like we were doing a bunch of two tight end sets this year with Irv Smith right. Jr. And Kyle Rudolph. So it's like if we're going to go that direction, run heavy, we only need one wide out anyway. Or, you know, we only need like one X receiver and then a slot, which Diggs is more of an outside guy. So I get it. It's just... It's frustrating to me because the last two years I've been pretty confident that we had the best two wide receivers in the league. I believed that, you know,
two of the
and so that's
definitely
sucks.
Two of the top five. Yeah,
you know, what the interesting thing was I saw the Hopkins trade obviously, and then with the Diggs trade, Diggs was up on the main page, and you know it just said for like picks, so I got really worried that like we got like a fifth rounder and a third rounder.
No,
or
you
something.
Guys, you guys got, you got. A, I think you got like a one, a four, and a five, or something. Like
yeah,
that.
1, 4, 5, and a six. A 1, 4, 5, and a six, and we
yeah.
sent a seven.
And
to
listen,
you.
Diggs deserves. I mean, the guy, you know, he's a beast. He yeah. deserves. I think that was a great trade for both sides. A lot of people are bashing the Bills. Actually, they think they gave up too much. I don't think so at all.
No,
I think Diggs is going to be a great addition. So yeah, it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun. I'm excited. The Bills entering the season as of now, definitely the projected winner of the AFC East. I think, you know,
we're just gonna make that claim, but we're just gonna do that to Bill Belichick.
What's his name? Steinman? What is he? I've never even seen him throw a ball like the guy. I mean,
I did. He threw a pick six. I watched
exactly.
No,
exactly.
They're not gonna. He's not their starting quarterback day one. Whoever it is, right, they're not there yet.
Right. I do agree with that. I'm excited to see what they do.
What if... Close your eyes for a second. It's opening day. Patriots.
I don't like this.
They'll keep your eyes closed, Casey. The people will know if you're lying. The Bills are at the Pats. The Bills take the field. You're feeling like, wow, we're AFC East champions waiting to happen. Out of the tunnel. Wearing number one. Towel on his head. Cam Newton. In the Patriots logo,
I
comes out
about that. I listen. Cam Newton and Bill Belichick goes together like
oil
peanut
and
butter
water.
And yeah. I don't know if that's a good. I don't know, man. I love Cam Newton. I think he's incredible. He was incredible. It'll be interesting to see after taking a year off if he's healed.
Sure.
It seems like the organization he was with was not very excited about his ailments, but it'll be interesting to see where he goes. I can't believe that the Patriots haven't made a move for anyone yet.
I know.
Like,
I thought
know
they
what
would get
doing.
Bridgewater. That's what I thought was going to happen.
Well, Flacco's all of a sudden available. So I don't know if they go for a Flacco.
Yeah, if I go downstairs,
you know, that is one.
You know what's
thing
also available? The trash outside my apartment. That's available too. I could sell that.
Listen, I'd love to have Flacco as a backup to Josh Allen. Right now, that is a bit of a hole. In fact, the first game against the Patriots last year, a horrendous targeting foul on Josh Allen that wasn't called knocks him out of the game, and Matt Barkley, who seems like a great guy, comes in and there's no shot. There's no shot.
Matt Barkley, great guy, terrible quarterback.
He seems like a good dude. Like, I'm sure he's an awesome guy, great college career. But a guy like Matt Flacco could be a really wonderful kind of backup to a young quarterback like Josh Allen. So maybe someone like him will come in. But I think Flacco still wants to start ball games. So who knows? Who knows? Maybe the Patriots will tank for Trevor Lawrence. Who knows?
Oh, my gosh. My guy. Golden locks.
Love that guy.
So great. Yeah. We'll see. I don't think Cam Newton is going to be a Patriot because that's like literally the weirdest reunion. I just was trying to.
Who's available?
I was trying to get a rise out of you.
What if Jameis goes to the Patriots and throws 50 touchdowns and two picks?
That's what you said San Francisco. When Brady was looking at locations, I was like, San Francisco makes a ton of sense. Like, they didn't really it didn't seem like they were super over the moon about Jimmy G this year. Bill Belichick has like an erection the size of Texas for him. And then I thought they were just going to swap QBs.
Also, Jimmy G is the best looking quarterback of all time. Like, I get it, Bill B, but like, weird.
Jimmy GQ. Jimmy dates a porn star. Jimmy,
he did.
Did
he got caught red handed?
Did you know there was a prop bet for number of tweets that she would tweet during the Super Bowl? The porn star he took on a date.
No,
you could
bet
on that.
What was the over under?
One tweet. I think it was a half tweet.
30.
It was a half tweet. It was a half tweet. You had to stake a lot of money to win money if she tweeted once, but I was thinking about taking the under.
The under, that, you shouldn't.
That shows what type of degenerate I was. I was that deep in the prop bets.
Yeah. It'll be, you know what was fun though? In a time where there's no sports, a plethora of shaking up in the NFL that is
so fun.
Literally demounted one of the biggest dynasties in the history of sports.
Crazy.
It's been nice to talk about just something in the sports world that isn't negative. So it's been fun that the Bills have been there, and it's been fun watching teams like Tampa Bay, who no one – a year ago, if you said Tom Brady would be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, I would have looked at you like you were crazy and told you to never speak to me again.
I do have to shout out Harry, for those of you who have ever listened to the Against All Odds podcast, another great podcast, sports betting, check them out. Harry, who is quite the character on that show, about a month ago, he came out and said his Super Bowl pick for next year was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 65-1. And then he pitched why Tom
Brady...
Did
he bet on him?
Yeah, he did. And he pitched why Tom Brady would come to Tampa Bay and why it was worth a long shot. And like, as it was happening, I was like, that is one of the ultimate shot calls I've ever heard. That is like pretty deep.
I wonder how much he put down.
Probably not a ton, because the dude is a cheapskate. That's kind of part of his joke on there, is he like makes a bunch of $5 bets. But his rationale was pretty spot on.
Right.
And,
65-1. It's 20-1 now? Something like that?
That's crazy. I also just want you to know, do you follow college basketball at all?
Yeah. Not as much this year, but yes, I do.
So I made three early season bets for college basketball for the championship. I took Dayton before they were anywhere near where they were. I took Illinois, and I took East Tennessee State. Now, East Tennessee State, I took at 5,000-1. Okay, I saw them play a game. I saw them play against Kansas, and I was like, this East Tennessee State team is like pretty good. It's a really small school, small team.
How much did you put down?
I put down $5 at 5,000-1. So I would have
won. Why not?
$25,000, right? So, first of all, throughout the season, I became the biggest East Tennessee State fan. Like, they ended up 30 wins and 4 losses, and they were like projected as a 10 seed, which I was like, okay, definitely in this. And then Dayton, I got at 100-1, and they were a number 1 seed projected, and their odds were down to 7-1 right before they canceled March Madness. And then Illinois, I got at 200-1, and they ended up at about 40-1. So I had these three bets that were huge winners,
And just to end up in the championship or to win the tournament?
To win it. But, you know, if they make the Final Four, if they make the Final Four, I can hedge, meaning I can bet the other side and make my money back. But, like, all of these bets were going to pay me, like, one of them was going to pay me $5,000, $10,000, and $25,000. I was like, this is going to be the funnest March Madness.
So how does that work since the tournament was canceled? Do you get your money back?
Yeah, I just get my $5 back. It's just a push.
Right.
But it's like, I was so
excited. For people that are putting down big money, that's crazy. Yeah. What if it was East Tennessee versus
I would have loved
Illinois.
It. Yeah, my gosh.
That would have been crazy.
I would have literally bought drinks for so many people and had the most fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And rooted hard for East Tennessee.
Oh, my gosh. Well, they had this guy named Trey Boyd, who probably will end up playing in, like, Ethiopia or in, you know, like, Lithuania. But he had this headband, and he literally just got buckets. Like, anywhere on the floor. He's, like, 6'3", just, like, so smooth. I hope he ends up on a G League team.
He was like Daniel Bellamy of our intramural squad.
Oh my gosh. So
getting
smooth.
Buckets.
Yeah. That's the one thing. Like, I've been doing really good of quarantining, like, pretty much for the last, like, 2 weeks. Except for I played basketball like 5 times. I was like,
yeah,
definitely
just going to the court. Yeah.
Yeah. We were hand sanitizing a bunch, but I was like, they were like, stay home, save lives. And I was like, stay home, except for basketball.
Stay home and ball hard.
Yeah,
we've been it's hard. You can't just stay inside all day. You got to go outside.
Oh, 100%.
Luckily, we're in the woods, so there's like a wooded area. There's like a little trail out here, but
I like to think you're just in a military compound.
Right? Sean Payton, they're saying, has coronavirus now, so that's kind of freaky.
Oh my gosh.
Hopefully he'll be okay.
I was about to say something awful. I kept it. I kept it on.
You can always edit it out.
Every coronavirus joke, you're just like, I probably shouldn't be making There's just no, there's no green zone.
Just wait
another
week or two.
Yeah. All right,
wait
sir.
Till everyone is going so insane.
Wait till everyone's dead? Okay, cool.
Wait, no.
all right, sir. Man. Thanks for chatting.
Always.
Well.
We'll talk soon.
Yeah, I'll talk to you later.
All right. See you. Love you, dude.
Love you too, man. Thanks to Casey for coming on. He didn't even get to tell the story of the fact that he totally swindled his way, not swindled, got his way into Super Bowl tickets by somehow getting on the radar of the vice president of football operations, I think. I don't even know. But that's why he started with all the Buffalo speak. He's now truly in the inner circle of Buffalo. Well done, Casey Cott. I wish you luck with Stefon Diggs. Thanks for coming on. Another episode coming later on this week. Thanks, you guys, for listening. And Stefon, hit him with those sweet, sweet tunes.